number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. So when you win the World Series, you know, and you don't have a lot of time in between, things sort of sneak up on you.
They sure do.
So 9 days after the Red Sox, you okay?
No.
Got a little
What's
choked
wrong
up
with my
there.
Voice
you got
here?
A little
what,
choked up
what
there.
What is the problem today?
Are we going
happened?
Through the change of life?
It took a while, but it's finally here, Dale. Please don't shame me as I go through this together with everybody. What is wrong with my voice? What is that? I feel fine. All of a sudden, my voice, I couldn't talk earlier.
A little Kermit the Frog going on.
A little Kermit the Frog. Well, a little bit. What is that? I gotta get some tea?
I've been having a little bit of that, too, and I felt like it was allergies, but there are no allergens anywhere.
No allergens. Great point. I've never had allergies.
But no, there was allergies earlier this year.
It could be cut grass, cats, dogs.
That's true.
I mean, you know,
Fortnite.
There's a whole list of things.
I was mid-sentence last hour, and I just, all of a sudden, my voice stopped. It just didn't work anymore. I gotta get this figured out, especially being in, you know, talk radio. Could be a bit of a problem
you
here.
Could make a career change, become a deaf mute.
Dale, please.
Marcel Marceau thing. You could do a whole performance art.
I would have to learn sign. I'd have to do that.
Hard thing.
Yeah. At this point, I'm not learning anything new.
No, please.
What I have is what I have. Like, my skill set, as limited as it is, that's it.
This is.
There's nothing new.
What
happening.
You see is what
that's
you
right.
get.
Take it or leave it. So I'm
piss
sorry.
Poor voice.
Or even not even a voice. Like, I got nothing.
You know, you may have yelled too much yesterday. That could have
you know
had
what?
Something to do with
Maybe
it.
Maybe you pinpointed it. Maybe that
been,
was it. I threw my voice
something
out.
Going on. So we were talking about, you know, when you win the World Series, you go all the way to the end. You know, things kind of sneak up on you. Yesterday, 9 days after the Red Sox won the World Series, Mookie Betts welcomed a new baby girl.
How about that? Good timing. He's got
nice,
plenty of time
perfect.
Now to hang out.
He and his girlfriend had a baby daughter yesterday. Congratulations
there you
to
go.
Them. So now all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the GM meetings are taking place this week in Carlsbad, California. And have we sent like 18 people out there?
Who's
Did we
out there?
Like Bradford and
Boom
Tomasi
sauce?
And
Boom Sauce out there or what?
The entire writing team is there.
The whole .commies.
Oh, that's good.
So anyway.
Good for those guys.
Nick Cafardo is writing from Carlsbad, California, because if you've got a good boondoggle, you don't let go of it.
That's right. The home of Tony Hawk, I believe, Carlsbad.
Is that okay?
I think it might be.
So the point of Cafardo's piece today is that, and the headline says, Red Sox bullpen door may be closing for Craig Kimbrell.
Hmm.
Now, as Cafardo points out, the Red Sox made Kimbrell a qualifying offer of $17.9 million. They don't expect him to take it. He will likely get a multi-year deal, according to Cafardo, in the Aroldis Chapman neighborhood of 5 years, $86
million. Oh, boy.
Now, that's Nick's premise here.
Yeah, no, he might be right.
He might be.
Yeah.
He points out that Kimbrell has expressed a desire to stay in Boston, an impact with the team in three seasons here. You couldn't deny that.
He was certainly an impact.
He's had developed a special bond with Boston Children's Hospital.
Nice.
After his infant daughter was born with a heart condition and all of that. You know, Cafardo's point here is that if Kimbrell was willing to take a 3-year deal, the Red Sox would probably do it.
Hmm.
It said if the right-hander who will turn 31 in May would accept a contract of no more than 3 years in the neighborhood of his 2018 salary, the Red Sox likely would bring him back. So in other words, 3 years, $45-50 million, he would do it.
See, I was ready to move on, but then you say, all right, what's the replacement? And
that's a huge question.
I am pro closer. I know there's a lot of people out there that maybe some of the nerds out there, they don't value the closer. I like the idea of you get to the ninth inning, you know who your guy is, and for the most part, shuts him down. And if he has a bad outing, there's no, oh, are they going to take him out? Are they going to make a change? And that's what happens with a lot of teams. If they're not confident in their closer, every time that guy is out there, you might be making a switch, and then you might never really find the true guy that you have. So Kimbrell, as shaky as he was in the postseason, he's been good in the regular season with the Red Sox. You know, in 3 years, he has a 2.44 ERA. Not as good, not nearly as dominant as he was in Atlanta, but still good compared to other closers in the game. You know, Kenley Jansen is supposed to be one of the best closers, and you saw how hittable he was in the World Series. So I like the idea of a guy that sort of solidifies the ninth. But with, you know, Mookie Betts coming up in the contract in a couple of years, with maybe a restructure of J.D. Martinez, with Bogarts, all these other guys, I don't know if I want to give my closer $18 million and then I'm still sweating out playoff games. So I'm ready to let him go. I don't know if you also heard his agent, Dale, yesterday.
I did not.
His agent, it's not Boris. I think it's David Meter. He said that Kimbrel is the greatest closer of all time.
That might be a little aggressive.
we're skipping the Mariano Rivera time?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it was that long ago. It's one thing if you forget somebody like super old. Yeah, he's not the best closer of all time.
Might be a little aggressive.
Where did he come up with that?
Well, part of this whole discussion here is you saw how the Red Sox closed out Game 5 of the World Series. Now, part of that could have been a nod to Chris Sale. Hey, you know what? Thank you very much for getting us to this point. You go out there and get the last out. You had a 4-run lead going into the bottom of the ninth inning, and you didn't bring Kimbrel in. You brought Sale in. So was it Alex Cora trying to do a solid to Chris Sale, or was it Alex Cora suggesting, you know, maybe the traditional closer role isn't necessarily the way we want to go here?
Well, postseason is so different than regular season. You can't do that stuff in the regular season. And you saw all postseason long, it was more the eighth inning, you know, until the last game of the World Series. But it was Eovaldi, Porcello, Price, Sale. You could bring those guys back.
Right.
Their pitch day. Yeah, so that's different. I mean, I think if they make it back, and they should, but if they make it back to the postseason next year, I think the exact same formula will take place. Regular season, though, you can't do it. So you're going to have to go with Joe Kelly or Matt Barnes or sign a free agent or somebody else like that. And they've missed before. I mean, think about before they got to Koji Uehara a few years ago, before they landed on him and how dominant he was, they tried Joel Hanrahan, they tried Mark Melancon, and they tried Junichi Tozawa. Koji was the fourth option that year, and they kind of lucked into it. Like, they knew he was good. He had good numbers, in Texas, I believe it was. And they got him, but they didn't want him to pitch in back-to-back games. They didn't want him to pitch more than three outs. And then he turned into one of the great closers that the Red Sox have ever had, at least for that season.
According to Cofardo, the Red Sox were among the teams that really wanted to get Zach Britton from Baltimore when, at the trade deadline, he went to the New York Yankees, kind of regained his form there after he had an Achilles injury early in the year. Cofardo says another lefty bullpen piece to keep in mind is Andrew Miller. He only pitched 34 innings this year for the Indians, had health issues.
Right.
Would they consider pairing Kimbrel with Joe Kelly, let's say?
Maybe. Now, would you, if Kimbrel wants 5 years, $80 million.
I would move on.
Yeah, me too. I'd say no thanks.
If it was a 3-year deal, now he made, $13.5 million this year? And I remember we were looking this up a while ago.
Yep.
If he made somewhere around $13.5 million this year, as I believe he did, if he was looking for a 3-year deal at $15 million a year, I'd probably do that. Despite the fact that he had some playoff issues, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, because then it really does come down to, I think it's easy to say, see you later, but then you say, all right, who's the closer?
And it's easy to say, well, Nathan Eovaldi's the closer, or Joe Kelly's the closer, or Matt Barnes
Chris
is the closer.
Go outside the box.
Thank you.
But yeah, they got to find somebody to do the job, and it's easier said than done, too. Yeah, like again, the example I gave you, they traded for two different closers. Neither one of them could do it. And then they had to promote a setup man, and then they kind of landed on that. But prior to that, you know, Papelbon was, you know, a real closer. Keith Falk, even though it didn't last forever, but that was a dominant closer. That was the year after the bullpen by committee. Like, that's what I'm afraid of. Like, if you go into the year and you say Joe Kelly's the closer, or what if he has one of those months where his ERA is an 8? Like, is it then Matt Barnes? And then all of a sudden now you don't really have one? Like, I still think you need a closer. Playoffs, maybe you don't. Playoffs, maybe it is Sale or Price.
I think the way Cora and Dana Lavangie put it together in the playoffs probably is the wave of the future, and it was perfect.
If you made it to the playoffs without a true closer, those guys that pitched the eighth inning could pitch the ninth. If you needed them to, right? Like, you could switch that, and they could have them, you know, finish games.
I mean, I do think it's fair to say that in the 3 years Kimbrel has been here, he's been among the top two or three closers in baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, his numbers back that up. And I think we do get sort of locked in on what we saw lately, and that's what he is going forward. And his playoff performance this year was spotty at best, and the overall numbers were not great. 10 2/3 innings, 9 hits, 7 runs, 8 walks. You know, had a dominant inning here or there, and then had other innings where he was scaring you to death. I would prefer to think that what you've seen over the 3-year body of work is more indicative of what he is, which is one of the best closers in the game.
Yeah, I think he's very, very solid. Now, he started his career in Atlanta like he was on his way to being the best closer of all time, and that's not even hyperbole.
And there's thought in Cafardo's piece, maybe he'll go back to Atlanta.
Maybe he will. He had four straight years there where he led the league in saves. I know that's sort of a counting stat or whatever, but he led the league in saves, and he was top nine in the Cy Young voting all 4 years. Like, he was lights out. Three of those years, his ERA was in the ones. In 2012, his ERA was 1.01. Then he had an okay year in San Diego, and then he got traded to the Red Sox. His first year with the Red Sox, he had an ERA of 3.40, which was very uncharacteristic for him. But even then, he bounced back, was great. He was lights out in the regular season a year ago. Then this year, he was solid. 2.74. He was solid. He was a guy that you could rely on. But then something happened to him in the playoffs where he didn't blow any saves, but man, did it look shaky. It did not look all that comfortable. But Dombrowski, before he makes any move with him or puts in his final offer, he has to have a backup plan. He has to be ready to go for who that's going to be.
Do you think they make a legitimate, serious run at keeping Nathan Eovaldi, who's going to get a huge... He's a guy who made himself some money.
I think he's going to get too much money. I think he's going to get a lot. I think he's going to be able to cash in. And because David Price is returning, I think that means Eovaldi's gone. I would want them to make a push for Eovaldi. I think he's very useful. But the problem is, if you pay him, let's say $20 million, or even in that neighborhood...
It seems a little higher than I think he's going to get, but it's going to be a lot of money. He's going to get a lot more.
But even then, aren't you forcing yourself into starting him, which might not be a bad thing? But then, the idea that maybe I think you'd be an awesome closer. I think you'd a guy throwing 101 miles an hour. I think he'd be fantastic as a closer. But if you're paying him starter money, you don't want to have him close, right? So then you're kind of forced to leaving him in the starting rotation, and now you're going to have three guys making at least $20 million, and then Chris Sale's contract is up in a year. Like, that, it might be, even for the Red Sox, who have the highest payroll, it might be too much to keep Eovaldi.
The other night, Joe Kelly was on with us during the intermission, and I asked Joe Kelly about Nathan Eovaldi's performance in the World Series.
I tried not to cry because I thought the guy was going to literally throw a ball and his arm was going to fall off. What he did was... something that, not everyone knows. Guys had two arm surgeries. Didn't begin the year, playing. He's on DL. It would have been very easy for him to be selfish at that point, going into free agency. He's only been with us for 2 months. He doesn't owe us anything. He didn't grow up with these guys. He wasn't in the minor leagues with these guys. He wasn't, part of our team. But essentially when that trade, went down, he was in there for the third day, and, you felt like he was part of the team. There's some guys that get traded, and you're like, oh, I feel like I've barely played with you. I felt like we played for Nate for years. And you could tell, he pitched with his heart, and he pitched with the love, and, he fit right in with our team. Went out there and, pitched the best games of his life.
I mean, almost to a man, people talked about that performance, the 7-inning, 97-pitch relief appearance.
Do you think that'll catch up to him this year?
No, but I think
I wouldn't be surprised if some of these guys that pitch deep into the postseason the next year, it's not right. And I wonder if all the pitches that he threw, all the short rest stuff, if he ends up having a real bad year.
Would you consider this? You signed Nathan Eovaldi,
mm-hmm.
and you know that you've only got a year left of Chris Sale, and you let Chris Sale move on down the highway after a year.
I would definitely let Chris Sale go. Absolutely. Depending on what he does
this
year. So
if that's the case, would you look at Eovaldi and say, okay, we're going to pay more than we want to for him now.
But he's in the long-term thing because he's still pretty young. He's about 28, I think. Yeah, I would definitely consider that, even though I said there's a chance. I mean, there's a chance. I have no idea if he's going to feel the effects of the postseason pitching. But, yeah, my biggest fear with Sale is we get to August, September next year in the same issue. And it's like, oh, my shoulder hurts again. Like, all right, well, if you're an all-star starter every year because you're the best first-half pitcher, but then the second half you fall apart, you can't give him $200 million. So,
and
yeah, even, if you're looking
and
long-term.
And already Dave Dombrowski has said, no, he doesn't need surgery or anything. He just needs rest. I almost would rather have had them say,
right.
Hey, you know what? We got to fix this. He was pitching with this.
Exactly. Well, that's just more of the same.
Yeah, now, it's what we've seen here before.
So would you – because last week I thought you said you would sign Sale now.
Yeah, and – now I'm starting to rethink it a little bit. If you could, and I'm not suggesting, by the way, that Nathan Eovaldi is Chris Sale.
No, he's not.
He's not.
No.
But would you consider the possibility, we'll sign Eovaldi, because we kind of know that a year from now we're probably going to let Sale go to free agency.
Yeah, because then now you're talking about 2020. You know, your rotation would be something like Price, Porcello, Eovaldi, maybe Rodriguez. And then at that point, you're going to have to work in a young guy. Yeah. Like, you're going to have to find a young guy, draft a young guy, develop a young guy, something. Like, it can't be all veterans in your rotation.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You know, one of the things we're talking about offseason baseball and Red Sox moves. There's a move that will not involve the Red Sox.
No.
And that's Bryce Harper, who, you know, the question is, how much is he going to get? I don't think it's going to be $40 million a year, and I know I've heard that one.
So $400 million is what they're talking about.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because he did not have a great year. Now, you also brought to my attention, Dale, that MLB The Show thing. So Bryce Harper right now is on the cover wearing a hoodie.
Without any logos or anything, just a gray fashionable hoodie.
He's going to announce what team he goes to on the cover of a video game?
Well, apparently.
And holy smokes.
And then that's the video game that will ultimately come out. He's going to get a lot of money, obviously. I think it's going to be closer to an AAV of around 33 to 35.
Yeah.
I think he's going to get 330 to 350 over 10 years.
And you remember Mookie Betts even made a comment earlier in the year that it's going to be very interesting to see what Bryce Harper makes, because Mookie Betts is better than Bryce Harper.
Yes.
And so he...
And is about to become the American League MVP.
Now, Bryce Harper just turned 26 last month. Like, he's been in the league a long time. He's only 26. So he hits free agency at a great time for him. He only hit 249 last year, but he did have 34 home runs and 100 RBI. So it wasn't like he was a bust. It's just his average wasn't very good. And so there's some talk that he could play first base for the Yankees. I saw somebody I don't even know who it was. They were writing up a thing, and they had the two rookies playing second and third. Then they said they could sign Manny Machado to play short and Bryce Harper to play first. You still have Stanton in the Stanton is your DH, Judge in the outfield with Hicks and whoever else. Gardner.
That'd be an interesting payroll, wouldn't it?
Oh my God, that'd be insane.
Well, it's like I saw this other article, and this is this really dopey season.
It is
right now in terms of go get this guy, go get that guy. I actually saw an article suggesting that the White Sox were interested in both
guys.
Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, and I'm thinking, since when are they going to pay that kind of money?
I don't know how they would do that. Harper makes a lot of sense for the Yankees because they could use a lefty bat. Like, they have so many. One of the reasons why Eovaldi was so good against them.
How good would a lefty bat be at that stadium?
Oh, my God.
Yeesh.
But also just to break up their lineup.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, the stadium, too. I mean, but that is one. Which guy do you think would help the rivalry more if he went to the Yankees, Machado or Harper?
Harper.
I think so, too, because he's the bigger personality.
He's the bigger name, the bigger deal.
Machado's more hateable right now, but if you give Harper a bunch of games in pinstripes, he's just the bigger star. He's one of the very few stars in all of baseball. So if they added him, although that would be weird seeing him play first base. I don't know if that's what they would do necessarily. I just saw that online yesterday. But they could move him there or just stick him in the outfield. You know, with Hicks and with Judge, and they'd probably be in pretty good shape.
I mean, I don't know if the Yankees... I don't think there's any way in the world they sign both those guys. I don't think anybody signs both those guys. Bradford has got a piece on WEEI.com where he's talking to Brian Cashman. I guess Cashman was talking to the New York Post. And he was talking about the asking price for Chris Sale leading into the 2017 season was not palatable. Cashman told the New York Post, "Thank God I didn't do that, actually, because you'd be missing some serious components of our major league club right now that are under control. We wouldn't have gotten anywhere if I did anything like that with the White Sox back then." Cashman revealed the White Sox were asking for Luis Severino, as well as one of the team's core position players, which, according to the Post, he would not identify.
But, there was one that said Severino and Gary Sanchez were likely the trade targets.
By the way, Cashman's point is, you know, we've got Severino, who's 33-14, 3.18 ERA and 63 starts.
And young.
The team is 44-19 when he starts a game. And you compare that with Sale, who's 29-12, 2.56 ERA and 59 regular season starts. The Red Sox are 40-19 in those starts. But he's eligible for free agency. He's going to get a huge contract. Severino's under financial control. So it seems as though the Yankees have either been preparing themselves to go hand Bryce Harper, you know, the Brinks truck, or they've become more austere in how they approach this.
Yeah,
stuff.
I think they looked at it even a couple of years ago, and when they were making some of the deals. Remember even a few years ago where they traded guys away and then ended up bringing them back, so they were able to add some young pieces. But they looked at it and said, well, Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are both going to be free agents, so let's not go nuts. And not that Chris Sale's contract is that huge, but they also wanted to keep some of their cheaper guys on the roster. And that definitely looks like the right move. And it's easier to say it, too, after Chris Sale's, you know, playoffs, where, you know, he clearly wasn't 100%. And the year before, he wasn't very good in the playoffs. So it's easier for Cashman to say that now. But the reality is, Luis Severino, Gary Sanchez, a much better trade package than Yoan Moncada and Michael Kopech.
Yes.
At least, I mean, at least certainly to this point. Those guys are still pretty young. But that was the right move by the Yankees. But they also need to land one of those free agents this year. I think because
I want them to go get Moncada because I think it'd just blow them up.
I think that would be great. I think that'd be awesome. But they're in a spot now where they're getting better, but the Red Sox are so good that they can't just bring the same team back and hope to beat them. Like they're actually in a position where they have to get one of these big name guys.
The Red Sox are just trying to decide which of the guys they already have they're going to bring back.
Yeah, don't you think their biggest decisions would be Eovaldi, Pierce, Kimbrel? I mean, that's what they're kind of looking at right now.
Really? And Pierce is going to be an easy piece. I mean, it's not going to cost them
a boatload
of money. Yeah. I think they like that rotation at first base with Moreland and him.
Although
I think
Pierce
will be back.
He might be, despite his age, he might be the best free agent first baseman. Like, if you look at the list, like Joe Mauer is a free agent, but, I mean, he's
done.
Not the same guy. Fat Adams. Like it's Matt Adams.
Okay, he's that was pejorative.
Cheap shot.
Yeah.
Mark Reynolds, Lucas Duda. They have Hanley Ramirez on this list. So,
well, he's available, Keith. I don't know if you're interested.
I don't think Steve Pierce is an everyday first baseman, but if there's a team out there that's desperate, I wonder if they pay him a little bit more. Plus, he can play every position just about. But I hope he comes back because I think he and Mitch Moreland is a nice platoon situation. Like neither guy I don't think should be playing every day. So if you're switching those guys, I think you're in good shape.
I know we're talking baseball free agency, but I will give you one bit of football free agency
news
out there, courtesy of NFL insider Ian Rappaport.
I don't agree with that.
The Saints are signing free agent wide receiver Dez Bryant to a one-year deal.
Good for Dez. About time.
So he lands on one of the best teams in football.
Yeah, it's a good spot.
And, you know,
Ian Rappaport is a douche.
Thank you very much, Chad. Yeah, the Saints are 7-1, leading the NFC
South.
They
look great.
They've won 7 in a row, actually, after losing their first game of the season. They need help. They got Michael Thomas, who, by the way, Dale, was named the
AFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Offensive Player of the Week.
I'm sure it was the whole cell phone thing that did it.
Celebration of the Week as well.
I think he won that for sure.
I don't think that's a thing.
It should be.
Unofficial.
Rossi's starting it right now. Every Warm Take Wednesday, he's going to weigh in with the best celebration of the week.
So right now we're going to give it to Michael Thomas. Congratulations.
The first ever winner of the Jason Rossi touchdown, or no, just celebration of the week. There you go. But that's good. Good for Dez Bryant. And he said all along he was going to be back this year, and he said he wasn't going to, you know, start the season. So there he is, and he's on a team that's going to throw the ball all around.
So the word is he'll wear number 88 in New Orleans. Jane Slater from the NFL Network added to Ian Rappaport's reporting, says he will report to the facility tomorrow after spending today in Dallas with his son on his birthday.
Well, I mean, you can't not be there for the birthday, right? What are you saying? What are you suggesting?
He's been out of work for a lot. He's probably been, well, maybe he hasn't.
Well, you're not going to move the birthday. It's one day.
He has been with his son a lot, theoretically.
Probably. Well, we don't really know.
I don't know.
We don't know any of this.
He's had the opportunity
to
be with his son a lot.
Well, he probably has his nose in the playbook, too, while he's at Chuck E. Cheese. Probably looking in there, seeing you can run a slant route there.
I might have suggested that he, you know, get in there and
well, it's funny because they worked out Brandon Marshall, Dez Bryant, and there was somebody else they worked out too. I was like, is T.O. going to be showing up there? Like, who else is going to pop in? They had all these, like,
Ocho
I love those
Cinco.
Guys. But probably was. But so we'll see. We'll see what Dez Bryant does. But he does go to a good team.
Red Sox never worked him out. I mean, the Patriots never worked him out. They weren't interested.
Did. Yeah. Well, they didn't need to. Now, if they never brought in Josh Gordon, every week I would have been hitting the Dez Bryant thing. But once they got Gordon, there was no need for him. They got that covered.
Drew Brees has got a really good offense as it is.
Yeah,
and it just got better.
Well, and this is what
I should say.
I think it did.
It should be better.
I think it is.
If Dez Bryant is willing to, you know, be a team player.
But this is what he was talking about before when he was sending out those tweets about the Patriots, and he was saying Gronk, Edelman, Hogan. He's like, I'm going to be single covered.
So good.
But now think about same kind of deal. Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, like, he's going to be the third best option at best. So teams are going to have to put all their attention on Thomas. And, you know, Drew Brees has made guys like Willie Snead look good in the past. You know, Ted Ginn's had big games with Drew Brees. So I think Dez Bryant, assuming he's not completely out of shape, I think that's a really good pickup for them. Do you think I know they just beat the Rams. Who do you think's the better team in the NFC? I still would put my money on the Rams.
I'm not sure if I would.
Saints are tough.
And they look great.
Yeah. I mean, that might come down to if Drew Brees can play the NFC Championship game in the Dome, then maybe
his chances a lot at that point. Although, how bad would it be playing in L.A. too?
True.
It's not like it'd be a horrible place, but...
Yeah, but if there's like a stiff wind, I don't think Breeze can handle it.
Healthy Breeze?
Yeah, if you will.
I'm sorry.
Yes, well done. Well said, Dale.
Felt I had to play it. 617-779-7937. So Dez Bryant finally has a football home. It's not back in Dallas.
No.
It's not here. It's in New Orleans with Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. That makes them that makes a formidable team even better.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they were a tough team to begin with.
Get connected with Rich Keefe on Twitter at Keefe21. Now back to more of Dale and Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
Is the telephone number. Text line 37937, Dale and Keefe. We'll talk to Tommy Curran at about 1:30. We'll give away Bruins tickets at the bottom of the next hour at 12:30. As we've been kind of all over the place today, talking some Patriots, talking some Red Sox. Believe it or not, we feel like we can even work some Celtics in here because there's some interesting stuff out there about the Celtics. Bill Simmons, you all know him as the sports guy way back when, he tweeted out a little while ago, about 7 minutes ago, unexpected early season Celts subplot. Terry Rozier, restricted free agent next summer, has been unhappy with his playing time all season. Word has gotten around the league, and everyone now knows the Celtics need to trade him, which of course makes it harder to trade him. The teams that make the most sense are Phoenix and Orlando, but neither team should be trading an asset to have a better record this season. Intriguing possibility is San Antonio. So, you know, we kind of thought that, you know, playing time could be an issue for some guys on the Celtics team and rotations and minutes and all that. According to Bill Simmons, Terry Rozier has made it pretty clear that he's not pleased.
So this is the most predictable thing. I think there's two guys that you said after their status being elevated in the playoffs last year were not going to be thrilled with the return of Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. I thought they were going to be Terry Rozier and Marcus Morris. And maybe I read too much into Marcus Morris's comment at the end of last season. Somebody asked him about, you know, all the guys coming back and what the team's going to look like. And he said he didn't know what his role was going to be. But he's actually played pretty well off the bench. He's been a good scorer. He's still getting his shots. So Terry Rozier, who the whole scary Terry thing, he's the starting point guard now. All of a sudden they had
nice
all the t-shirt.
Though.
Yeah, it was a fun t-shirt. I like the screen mask. Yeah. I do too. But they got so obsessed with him, and he played really well at home in the playoffs. Remember, the road games were a little bit different story, and the team had so much success. They got all the way to the conference finals without their two best players, and Terry Rozier got a lot of that credit, and he's in a contract year, so it's really not shocking that he is going to be kind of upset with coming off the bench and not playing as much. But he's not as good as he thinks he is. And maybe that's part of, you know, some of these guys, maybe that helps them get to where they are. Like, you got to have confidence in yourself. I get it. But I think that there's a lot of money, and somebody needs to explain to him that there's still a lot of money to be had to be this. Even if you're the seventh or eighth guy on a really good team that ends up playing in the finals, like, you're going to get your opportunities. And let's also see what happens, because you think all their players are going to make it through healthy this year? You think Kyrie Irving's ever going to miss a game? You think Gordon Hayward's going to miss a game? Like, that's going to happen. Rozier is better off being here, I think, for the rest of this year, and then he can still cash in next year.
What depends on where he goes, too.
I mean, I guess, but he wants to go to a bad team and be the starting point guard? So there's 30 starting point guards in the NBA. Is he one of the 30 best point guards? Yes, he is. But it's probably between 20 and 30.
Simmons says the teams that make the most sense are Phoenix and Orlando. But he said an intriguing possibility is San Antonio. Look, we have no idea.
Phoenix sucks. So, yeah, so you go to Phoenix, right? And then maybe all he wants is...
minutes, because he's a restricted free agent next summer. I got to put up numbers in order to make my money next summer. I can see it.
I mean, I could see that too. But it's not like he's not playing at all. He's averaging just under 23 minutes a night. You know, and so that's not much less than Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris, who are coming off the bench, and Gordon Hayward, who's on a minutes restriction. Like, he's in that group of guys. And I just, that run that he had last year, I think he was playing over his head. I don't think he's that good. And maybe I'm wrong, and I guess he probably wants that opportunity, but we're 10 games in. I mean, it's just, don't you want to see this thing play out a little bit? I guess for him, he's just being impatient.
And probably looking around in his own dressing room, on his own practice court right next door here, and looking around saying, I don't see where this is going to change much.
Well, and so this is the challenge that Brad Stevens has, isn't it? I mean, he has the most talented team he has ever had in the history of his coaching. And they're
6-4.
The highest expectations, right, they're 6-4 after a couple of bad losses. Not bad against the teams, but just the way that both those games played out. And so he needs to... I mean, think about the roster he had when he first took over Boston. I mean, they didn't have five real NBA players, it felt like. Now you have nine guys that probably think they should start. And so not only does he have to manage, you know, Gordon Hayward and Irving and Brown and Tatum and, you know, who's going to be the leading scorer and who's going to be missing out on shots. You got to manage that. But now the next layer down, you got guys that are unhappy. I mean, this is not surprising at all. I thought maybe it would take a little bit longer.
You're right. It's not surprising, but perhaps 10 games into the season, it seems a little much.
Yeah, and again, maybe just some frustration too. I mean, with the losing, I don't know if that's a factor. I mean, if he just wants playing time, he probably doesn't care if they're winning or losing. If he wants to go to the Suns, I'm not saying he does, but if he wants to go there, then he clearly doesn't care about wins and losses. But so I guess the question then becomes, if you're the Celtics, if you're Danny Ainge and the Celtics, and Terry Rozier wants out, do you just give him what he wants? Like, is he more of a harm to the team being a turd?
Oh, it's a legitimate concern.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, as Simmons points out, everybody around the league now knows that he wants out.
So now what do you get for him?
So it's going to be harder for Ainge to come up with a reasonable trade for him.
And teams don't, I don't think, like trading with Danny Ainge anyway.
Well, they don't like doing him any favors.
He fleeces teams all the time.
Now, you talked about, you know, there's a certain ego level that is involved in playing. It's like playing cornerback in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to think you're really good, and if you get burned, screw it, I'll be really good the next play. It's sort of the same with Rozier. Maybe Jaylen Brown has a similar sort of ego level that might be a little out of proportion. Mm.
So 28-year-old Jake. How many championships 28-year-old Jaylen got?
I'm not going to jinx myself, but he's had 6 years. I'm going to go ahead and say it's 5 or 6. I say that.
So you win in the championship every year from here to...
I don't want to jinx myself.
You already did. You already said it.
And I don't play to lose, so I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm gonna give it a 5. You know what I mean?
5 rings by 28.
That's what I'm going to go with that, yeah.
How confident are you about winning this year?
Super confident. Like, people misconstrue confidence and arrogance.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I'm not being arrogant, and we don't have to take the steps to be the team that we say we want to be, right? Because we got the mindset of a champion. I think that's where it starts.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I really
confidence, like arrogance. What about stupidity? Where's that
rank? I like Jaylen Brown a lot.
He's annoying.
He thinks in the next... Well, he started out saying 6 years. I'll say 6 championships.
So, wait, is
then
Jordan
he knocked
now?
It down to, he knocked it down to 5.
He's going to win 5 titles. This isn't
Does
to
he
me.
Know that there are other teams?
I don't know. The Golden State Warriors?
They're really kind of good. And
I mean, they're 6-4. They can't hold on to an 18-point lead against the Nuggets, and then they lose to the Pacers over the weekend.
Yeah, I don't know when they taped this thing. So
yeah, maybe. No matter when they taped it, it's still a bad sign. He hasn't been to the finals yet, and now he's going to win the next 6 or 5 of the next 6. So this, to me, is not as bad as the little parade that the Miami Heat threw themselves when LeBron went down there. One, because it's LeBron, but also that was in that public forum, and he was like, not 3, not 4, not 5. But that's what Jaylen Brown's doing here. Like, you should never think your team is going to lose, so I get that. But give me a break. We're going to win 5 titles based off of what? Based off of what? What are you doing? You can't get out of your own way right now. I think they figure it out, but right now it has not been pretty. And now you got one of your guys on the bench that wants out. So they got their work cut out for them here.
I'm very concerned about the Boston Celtics. It's the only other thing I wanted to say. I don't like there's some chemistry stuff. I mentioned this on Friday, but I am concerned about it's a classic too many guys issue that is just manifesting itself so far. And I feel like there's going to be a trade coming. So I wanted to get that on the record. I feel like Terry Rozier will not be on this team 10 days from now.
So that's obviously Bill Simmons. Now, Charles Barkley even
prior to tweeting out what he tweeted out a few minutes ago.
So Danny Ainge built too good of a team. Is that what we're coming down to now? Is the team too good?
Too many talented players.
Can that be a thing?
Not enough basketballs, Keith. I mean,
well, Charles Barkley said early on, was it with the first game they played or one of the games they played, Charles Barkley on TNT said that they have too much talent. And I think people kind of laughed at it, but this is what he means. So if you have guys, you kind of need to know what the roles are. So you go back to a team that did win six championships, the Jordan Bulls. So you have Jordan, then you have Pippen, who knows he's great, but he also knows he's not Jordan. Pippen.
He knows his role.
He does. He knows his role. Then you would have, the rebounder du jour. It was either Horace Grant for the first three or Rodman for the last three. You had, whether it was B.J. Armstrong or Ron Harper, and then the bench. Like, they were the bench. Like, that was it. It was pretty well-defined what those guys were. Even the 08 Celtics. Now, Allen and Garnett had to give up some shots, but they still had a pretty starting lineup. And then you had guys that were comfortable, at least for that season, being on the bench. James Posey and PJ Brown and Eddie House, those guys were used to that. This team, part of their I don't even know if it's really an issue yet. I'm not as concerned as it sounds like Bill Simmons is, but Terry Rozier and Marcus Morris were two of the stars, really, of their playoff run a year ago, and now they are relegated to being the sixth, or actually really seventh and eighth guys on the team.
I also think that the issues for this team go back to even the preseason. And I know the preseason results don't matter, but Brad Stevens was critical of this team's performances in the preseason. He didn't like the way they were playing. He certainly didn't like the way they were playing defense. Those issues seem to have carried over into the regular season. And is there, in fact, a locker room, a chemistry issue here that's helping keep this thing a little off kilter?
See, I think, for everything I've heard, I'm obviously not in there, but everything I've heard, the team gets along. And, like, Al Horford is sort of a leader. They look up to Kyrie, and, like, the team gets along. So, like, I don't think Terry Rozier is saying, oh, like, why is Kyrie playing? I think he's just saying, like, why? Like, I want to play more. Like, I don't know if he's specifically saying, like, he wants somebody out.
Last year at the end of the season, Terry said this about Kyrie.
As far as the starting thing, I'm not really worried about that. He's a starter. He's our starter. He's our starting point guard. I had a lot of fun leading these guys this year when I had to step up and start. So, next year it'll play itself out the right way.
So
I appreciate him saying the right thing. I mean, that's great.
But that's with microphones in front of your face.
And it's also, now all of a sudden you've got an agent in your ear saying, Terry, we're a free agent, restricted free agent at the end of this season.
Get the very last part, what he said there, the very, very last part. If it's not, then don't worry about it.
Next year, it'll play itself out the right way.
That could mean trade. It'll play itself out the right way.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Now, I guess the other question would be, they're better with him. I've never been a big Rozier fan. Like, he made me look bad last year. I hated the draft pick. I was never a huge fan of it, but he was...
Old takes exposed, remembered that.
They did. They got me on that one. But, like, oh, whoa, in your face, Terry Rozier. He's like the eighth guy.
4 years later, we got you.
Give me a break. Yeah, right. So I'm all for that Twitter handle, like, they can do it, but that really Terry Rozier you're gonna get me on anyway. But they're better with him, just in the sense that they're a little bit deeper, and he's Kyrie Irving insurance. You needed it last year. Who's to say you don't need it this year? Kyrie Irving, he never plays 82 games in a season, so there's gonna be times where he's not out there. And you're better off with Terry Rozier. He's got a little bit more of that scoring punch at the point guard spot other than Marcus Smart. So they're better with Terry Rozier. But depending on what kind of a guy, we've seen it in every sport. If there's a guy that wants out, there's sort of different degrees. Like Blake Swihart, for example, wanted out of the Red Sox.
Right.
Didn't work. Didn't happen, but he didn't cause a big problem about it. But then there are other guys who are like, all right, well, we got to get rid of this guy. Like, look at...
Do you think Danny feels like he has to do something? I mean, it's only 10 games into the season.
I wouldn't right now. I definitely wouldn't. And I guess Danny can also talk to Brad, be like, you know, is this guy a problem? Like, is it affecting you coaching? Like, what's the locker room like? Like, I guess there's a lot of things you'd have to add to it. But right now, I wouldn't.
What if you're Terry Rozier? Isn't your best bet to make more money, like, your best example, the last season's postseason, and then being on the Celtics team, then say he goes to, you said, Orlando. Is that going to expose his skill set?
I think it would, yeah, if he's, like, the guy on one of those teams. I think, and it's got to be tough. I mean, he's a young guy. He's in his contract year. But look at how much money Brad Stevens made Evan Turner and Kelly Olynyk and all these other schleps that he had here. So even if Rozier is the seventh or eighth man, it's not like he's not playing. He's played in every single game this year. He's getting some opportunities. And then, you know, all the primetime games and the playoff games, like all those things, like you're still going to be out there. People know who you are. He's going to have an opportunity to make money next year.
I think the primetime games is totally overplayed. If you're a team,
People go nuts for primetime games.
No, that's great. But if you're a general manager looking to sign a guy,
oh, they watch every game.
They see everything.
They watch every game.
And you know, is he thinking, well, if I'm in Phoenix, just throw that out there. If I'm in Phoenix, I'm the guy. You know, I'm getting more minutes. I'm getting more shots. I'm putting up bigger numbers.
I think teams, not all of them, but I think teams are smart enough to realize that if a guy, you know, scores 20 points a game with the Suns, it's not the same as 20 points a game with the Celtics. Or even 15 points necessarily.
I was
going to
say he's probably not going to score
20
points.
No, but my point is, like, you know right away those aren't equal. Like, you can pull up the bat. Like, somebody has to score for all those crap bag teams. Somebody does. And every once in a while, it is a good player happening to be stuck on a bad team. But more often than not, it's just, okay, that guy's a terrible player. Like, when Jeff Green was on bad teams, he would score double-digit points. You're like, all right, that's Jeff Green. But then you put him on a good team. You're like, all right, this guy's useless. Like, this guy, what are we doing with him? So it's got to be tough for him, but give me a break. You got to stick it out more than 10 games. Like, let's see where the season goes. And again, it's not like he's been, you know, on the end of the bench and you don't even see him at all. Like, he's getting his chances.
If Simmons is right and he's making it clear that he's unhappy, he went into the season unhappy. This didn't happen in the last 10 games.
Right.
His minutes are down about 3 minutes a game from what he was playing last year.
Okay.
So we're not talking about, you know, all of a sudden it's like, what? I'm playing 4 minutes a night now. That's not if he is unhappy, and Simmons is right, he was unhappy in the offseason. He's unhappy before the season started. He's unhappy now. And if that's the case, you got to get him out of here.
Yeah, and then I guess what do? Like, do you try to find another player, like another backup point guard? You just trade him for a pick? I mean, that becomes another whole side topic. But yeah, I mean, there were a lot of questions before the season started because the eyes were they're going to make the NBA Finals. Like, that's how good they were. So what could possibly derail it? And one of them was those guys. Like, was everybody going to be comfortable with their role? And you're not even a full month into the season, and it seems like the answer is already no. So again, another challenge for Brad Stevens.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.